limitless. Go to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Let me start this out by saying, you can see the limitlessness of God, if I said that right. Did I say that right? When you see a tree burn and it's not consumed. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. How did God know these things and see these things? He's limitless, isn't he? He knows everything. He sees everything. He controls everything. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. You know the really, I don't want to say crazy thing, but the really wild thing. If you go back and you look at ancient history of Egypt, you won't find the Jews leaving there the way they did in the ancient history of Egypt. It's not there. They did not put it there. They did not write it down. They did not document it. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? I thought about what Moses said here whenever I got to thinking about me preaching. I said, I'm too old to do that. I told Mike and Don, I said, Satan's all over me about you're too old to be doing this stuff. No. And he said, Certainly, I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. I am. I am that I am. You know what that means? That means two things. There is none other than God. And that I am self-sustaining. I take care of myself. I am because of myself. Let me give you a definition of limitless. Limitless. Okay? Follow along. Without end. No limits. No boundary. Infinite. Immeasurable. Immense. Unfathomable. Vast. Countless. Indefinite. Endless power. Uncomprehensible and inexhaustible. Think about these things. Think about these things and then think about God in heaven. He's the epitome of each one of these. Each one of them. Have any of you all ever heard of Tozer? What is A.W. Tozer? Listen to what he said about this very thing, the limitless God. Yeah, you have to follow along because this is a little bit of a tongue twister here. God, being who He is, cannot cease to be what He is. And being what He is, He cannot act out of character with Himself. He is at once faithful and immutable. Immutable. And that means unchanging or unable to be changed. So all His words and acts must be and remain faithful. That's pretty sound stuff there, isn't it? Let's look now at a limitless God in three areas. I've got 3 points here. In His person, in His power, and in His purpose. Let's start with His person. He's omniscient, isn't He? Having complete and boundless knowledge with no exception. Bruce, you never thought I'd use Stephen's turn page on my notes. But I'm trying hard to follow along. In Isaiah 46:10, if you want to turn there. If you don't want to, you can just listen. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, say, My counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. That's power, isn't it? That's a powerful God. He knows things before they're even done. He has determined things that will be the way they are. And it cannot and will not ever change. Because He cannot and will never change Himself. There is no place in which God's knowledge and power does not extend. Are you getting the message to folks? I gotta hurry up or I'm gonna run out of time. He's not only all-knowing, omniscient, but He's omnipresent. Do you know what that is? He's able to be everywhere at one time. It's hard for our finite minds to understand that. I can't understand how that God was on His throne in heaven while Jesus Christ was here upon the earth going through His 33 and a half years here. Is it hard for your mind to comprehend that? It is mine. Proverbs 15:3 says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." Every place. He is everywhere, at all times. If you think that you can go out and see things, and think things, and things come into your heart, and you can conceal them, you can. From your spouse, from your friends, from your mother, from your father, from your aunts and uncles, grandma and grandpa, you can conceal those things from them. But you can't God. He even looks into our heart and the intents of our heart. Do you know that? Matter of fact, I'm going to be bold enough to say this. He knows what you're going to do before you even do it. He's omnipotent. Do you know what that means? He's all powerful. He has supreme power. There's no other like Him. There will never be another like Him. Isaiah 40:28, if you want to go there, says, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of His understanding. As high as the heavens are above the earth," and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, "is His thoughts above our thoughts." We can't attain to the mind of God. And let me stop here just a second and say this. I'm starting to walk. I apologize, cameraman. But let me say this. I have a hard time of listening to somebody that refers to God as the man upstairs.
Amen.
I have a hard time with that. I want to smack him in the mouth and say, "You don't know what you're talking about. He's not the man upstairs. He is God. He is above all things. And all things consist from Him. Even you." I got that off my chest. Now that we've gone this far, omniscience, omnipresent, omnipotent, do these things apply to the Lord Jesus Christ or just to God? She said, "Mouthful." In John chapter 10, verse 30, the Lord declares that I and my Father are one. John chapter 14, verses 8 and 9. I'm almost finished, folks. I got just a little bit more. I see you shuffling. I see you moving. I see you changing back and forth. I know, because I'm there sometimes. John chapter 14, verse 8 and 9 says, "Philip saith unto the Lord, Show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, I have been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip." And this is what he says. "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father?" They're one. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh? So you say, you come up with the next question. I like questions. I like the question thing. You come up with the next question. How come Jesus Christ didn't show all these attributes whenever he was here upon the earth? If he was God, why didn't he show them? He was clothed in the flesh of man. He could have showed them at any time he wanted to. It was not time for it to be done. So we started out, let's go back. We started out with limitless in his person. Now we're going to look at limitless in his power. That was just the first point. The power of God is evident in creation. All things were made from nothing. All things. Again, I go back to what we talked about in Sunday school class this morning. Everybody will say, whoa. You did tell the truth there. We were made out of the dust of the earth. Yeah, but who made the dust of the earth? God did. So we see his power in creation. We talked about that in Sunday school. All you have to do is walk out in the woods and sit down and look around and tell me that there's no God out there. In the destruction of the earth, he showed his power, didn't he? He killed every human being upon the face of the earth, every animal and everything except those that were in the ark. How did he do it? It wasn't with the rain for 40 days and 40 nights, because it could rain 40 days and 40 nights and it won't raise the level of the water to kill everybody on land. He opened up the fountains of the deep, and he opened up the windows of heaven, and everything came to here. It came up, it came down, and everything met here. That's his power. His power is also showed in the preserving of Israel in the wilderness for 40 years. He took care of his people. He gave them what they needed. He gave them water when they needed it. He gave them food when they needed it. And he even gave them more food that they got tired of eating when they started complaining about the food that he was giving them. His power is showed, if you go back to the scriptures and you study, his power is showed in man's salvation. We were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, wasn't we? Mm-hmm. Has he lost anybody?
No.
Is he going to lose anybody? His sheep, whenever he calls, is going to come forth, mm-hmm. and they're going to be saved. The raising of Jesus Christ from the dead shows the power of God. The saving of our souls and the faith that we are given to believe the gospel to be saved shows the power of God. The power of God was actually declared by a heathen king. Do you know that? Go to Daniel chapter 4, verse 34 and 35. Verse 34 says, "And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven. and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand, nor say unto him, what doest thou? That's a heathen king that declared that. He had to have, wouldn't you think that he would have had to have been saved sometime or another for him to declare God to be that powerful? And lastly, I'm finished. You all that are nodding can wake up. I'm almost done. The third thing is in his purpose. What's the purpose of God? Do you have any clue? Do you ever question and think, why does God do what he does? What's his purpose? Whatever pleases him. But he's got some things that he has purposed. And there's several of them. And I'm going to finish with this. Purpose is to intend or plan something one intends to do, aim to achieve. His number one purpose is his people, the Jews, the nation of Israel. He told Abraham that he was going to make of him a great nation. And God has kept that nation down through the years, and he will keep them until the end of time. There'll be a small remnant left at the end, but they'll still be there. His other purpose is to save his people. Remember I told you a little bit ago that we were, our names was written down in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. He cannot and he will not lose any. And the church is another purpose of God. His people. He's got two people. He's got the nation of Israel, and he's got his church. He called us out. He saved us, and he placed us together as a group of people to make up his church. And finally, we're there. His bride. He's going to call out his bride. He's going to protect her until that time and keep her and not let anything happen to her. I finish with this. God cannot be matched. I am that I am. I'm done, Brother Donald.